Hey everybody, this is your host Rob Mershon, and we're going to be talking to Nick Basil. We're going to be talking about all kind of good stuff again, Rhett stuff, and you hear that? Our old hound, we've had him up playing. Aaron Stump just left, and she spoiled him a little bit. We had to put him up while it's just me and he's mad.
Let us know.
Yeah, don't worry. He'll be all right. So anyways, Nick is about to get to the good stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what we wait for all season, or all year, really.
The weather's getting, we're getting this little cold snap right now, so it's got everybody, anybody that hunts big deer right now is excited for that first cold front in October.
You know, October 11th right here, and I know in 2016, I checked my cameras, it was around the 13th or 14th, and there was some big bucks popping up in the daylight that year. But a cold front moved up much like this one right here.
Yep.
I think old Red's pissed off.
He's wanting to get his point. He's wanting to get his point of view in here.
he's been cooped up, y'all, and we have to put him up while we do this podcast right here. He'd be chewing these wires from out. But he'll go to sleep here in a second. Old Red.
He's
gonna get bigger and louder, ain't he?
Yeah.
He's just like a little kid.
Yeah.
Running wild. Well, some things that, you know, Nick, we've been talking about a lot of the little basics and things the last few days. David French, Brandon Phipps, Cody and Kyle was on yesterday. I haven't even shared that yet. But some other things that we could share with everybody about going into the pre-rut and rut. One thing is cold fronts. But we was just talking about bedding areas.
Yeah.
And, you know, people kind of lock down on just a bedding area, but, man, they can bed anywhere.
I feel like nowadays, I mean, my brother mentioned it to me the other day, was watching The Hunting Public. I've talked about several times.
Yeah, great
here.
Show.
Great, I mean, it's great, has great, I mean, great information, bunch of good guys doing it. But he said, look how many views it has. I mean, it's having 75,000-80,000 views on those. And, I mean, they're putting out a lot of different new content, like, when you see these guys hunting on the ground, they're hunting, but they mentioned the bedroom, the bedding areas and they talk about it constantly now. So I feel like one of the new things, the new trends in hunting is saying, well, I'm going to go hunt in the bedrooms. You know, I'm going to hunt right in the bedding area as well. I don't necessarily think that. They're pushing up against the bedding areas and hoping and praying that the deer use, the trail that they're setting up. I mean, sometimes they don't know how far they are away from the bedding area, from where a big buck's bedded. Yeah. They're wanting to get close to the bedroom as possible and hoping those bucks get up, last 20 minutes of shooting light and wander their way.
Yeah.
I mean, they're setting up in a manner where they know, they feel like they have the best chance that buck's coming their way.
Yeah.
But they're not diving head first in the bedding areas.
They're not
saying,
running
here
right.
We are.
No, they're not running right in on that bed.
No. You do that. I mean, if you watch some of the old DVDs of Andre Delacuesto and stuff, and he does do that. He'll walk right in. He jumps a big buck and he'll set up right over top of his bed and hopefully comes back.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a super aggressive way of hunting.
That's ballsy to me. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
I can't do that. I'm not knocking him if he gets away with it. I don't know where he's hunting and can do that.
When you have, he's got a 600 acre farm in Iowa. I know one piece that he hunts that he owns. And, but yeah, if you're hunting that style, you got to have a lot of confidence in hunting that style and you got to have a lot of confidence that there ain't been bumped a whole lot out of that one bed.
Yeah, because he's not going to get bumped. Often, too many times where he's done.
I mean, if the deer gets bumped and he gets away and he feels like he didn't get chased down and he didn't get killed, then he did win that match and he feels confident in that bed.
Sure.
But I don't necessarily think the deer we're hunting are going to come right back to that bed.
No, not
at least
very
not often. The one, not the deer I'm hunting, I don't think.
No, I don't feel very comfortable. And hunting your bedding area, that's just kind of one of them basic things that you always want, my rule is I want to try to find a bedding area. At this time of year, one of the best ways to do that, of course, is thickets. And a lot of times they'll leave a lot of big rubs in there.
Yeah.
And
I think what a lot of people are finding, I mean, if you know anything about hunting, I mean, the basics. If you can pick up a book and read the basics, you can watch YouTube and find the basics on hunting. And you get on these ridgetops and you find scrapes and you find big rubs.
Mm-hmm.
People just throw up right there on top of that ridgetop.
Yeah, then you're in trouble.
And I mean, I'm guilty of it. I've done it when I was young. I think everybody,
that's experience.
Yeah. But what you really need to be doing, and you might think differently, but this is kind of what I've found successful the last few years is following those rub lines back to where it starts getting thick, and you feel like
that's probably the bed.
You feel like, yeah, maybe this right here is the right area, and then you know you might maybe see him 100 yards away, or maybe he comes by at dark, and you think, well, maybe I'll go a little bit closer to that bedding area, or maybe I'll, you know, that's kind of what I figured over the last few years.
I agree with you 100%, especially right now where these rubs are just popping up. You know, I done that video the other day with Jerry, and that rub line had just popped up, and I mentioned finding his bed, and what we done is exactly what you said. We followed that bedding. You know, you just don't want to just see a rub line just pop up on it. See what's going on there, like Nick just said. And we done exactly what Nick said. And me and Nick we hadn't even talked about this.
Yeah.
We kind of followed that until it started getting thick. Well, then we didn't go any farther.
Yeah.
We figured, okay, there's his bedding.
Yeah.
And then now, what's he doing? Where's he going to? Then we wandered around there and we found there was acorns dropping everywhere.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's what it is.
But we found one tree that was just, the hulls were popped. I mean, they just destroyed that one tree and that rub line went right by there.
Yeah.
So I connected the bedding to all them hulls and acorns being popped, got my wind right, and I went ahead and set up on it with this cold front coming. I don't know how big a buck this is.
Yeah.
And there's more than one buck.
That's kind of exciting when you don't know.
But I'm going to hunt it and I'm going to take a camera or I'll film it with my phone when I have to. But I bet you I'll see that buck this weekend.
Well, me and Kyle finally had a day off where I could get out and do some scouting a couple hours away from here at the house. We've been talking about looking at some property, and we basically drove into this piece of property, pulled up Onyx Maps, and said, let's go check out this spot. We marked three or four spots we want to check out, and they all looked pretty good, but we ran into some pretty good-sized rubs in there, and we thought, and where we was at, I mean, the acorns were, I mean, everywhere you stepped, there was acorns.
Yeah.
And
so find the hot one.
Yeah, we were, I mean, everywhere we stepped, there was acorns, but we got to this one little pinch down point between two fields, and maybe 50 yards of woods between those two fields. And when we got in there, I bet there was 75 rubs in about if you would draw a circle of, you know, 30 yards, I mean, it was.
So what do you think, a staging area, bedding, which kind of go hand in hand a lot of times?
Yeah, well, there was one of the fields a CRP and the other one was a bean field, which the beans are brown and dried up and they're not really paying much attention to them right now. So we kind of thought, they're coming in for these acorns. You know, that's kind of what I thought was, they're coming in for these acorns now because those beans are dried up.
Mm-hmm.
And so we kind of followed back down. I'd already found one big rub down over the ridge because we kind of split up and I followed the creek bed down and I thought, and I was right on it. I mean, it was right on a real thick area. And we started following that rub line when we got up where Kyle was at on up the ridge. And we started following that rub line back and that rub line went straight back down to where I could just come from, where that big rub was basically coming out of wide open hardwoods into a real thick, nasty kind of viney, you know, honeysuckle looking stuff, and then into a big CRP field.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew we weren't going to hunt this spot for a while. So we thought, well, we're going to just step out into that CRP field. And we were actually going to another spot to check it out. But as soon as we stepped in that CRP field, we'd start seeing big beds everywhere. So we just backed straight out of there.
And you knew what was going on.
Yeah. I told him, I said, man, I said, it's haunting me that I didn't bring my setup so I could set up here today. I said, because those rubs were super fresh.
Super fresh.
And I mean, it killed me because I thought, I texted him today and I said, man, it's haunting me that I didn't go down there and hunt them. You know, I didn't have my stuff with me set up and hunt that.
But because you got to hunt them while they're hot.
It was
hot. And Nick, you know, you've probably done it and I know I've done it. And so a lot of you listeners, I mean, I want you to pay attention because when you're scouting right now and you're a new hunter, or, you know, you haven't hunted a whole lot, you're a novice. When you go scouting right now and you see them rubs, you're excited. So how many times do people set up on rubs that they're not even, they've done change?
Yeah.
They've done change. Like Nick said, now this, he just found that it's really hot. He wanted to hunt it. That whole thing could change within 3 or 4 days.
Yeah. I feel like I've been in there. I put ground sail on the ground, and I feel like that my best chance to kill that buck that was in there was the night we was in there scouting.
Yeah.
I never planned on, honestly, we went down there to try to find some private ground to hunt.
Mm-hmm.
We walked around some other land, and never really thought we'd find some sign like that. Mm-hmm. You know, that I was just like, man, this has happened in the last couple of days. This is where he wants to be right now, and if I really feel like we'd have threw a stand up there, we probably could have killed that buck that night.
But you know, you got a chance still because you're just in there at one time. Yeah. And, you know, and I know you got to spray off your boots and stuff, but you still, you're leaving scent.
Yeah, no matter what you do.
And, you know, when you go in there, Nick and Kyle was in there that day at whatever time they's in there. Well, if that buck doesn't come back through until midnight, he still knows they was there.
Yeah.
So he could be a little weary. Like Nick said, you know, he could have got that tree stand up there. So
don't be afraid.
It's just a fine line.
Don't be afraid to do some scouting with your stand on your back. Yeah.
Brandon Pitts is going to do that, I think, this weekend. Yeah. He's going to be rushed and crunched for time. So
yeah, I mean, that's one of the things I've switched to is quit going to stationary stands and start, you know, hunting the fresh line.
Yeah.
And I've had more success seeing good deer the last few years that I've been doing that.
And here's another thing. We're talking about rub lines a lot. And the reason I was wanting to talk about these rubs is I just know how people react to them.
Oh, yeah.
And how I know they kind of draw them in. And they probably save more bucks than anything.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
Because
they
hunt them. A lot of people, not because I know this because I've done it myself.
We've all done it.
A lot of people, you know, you might walk in, you see this rub the size of your waist,
mm-hmm.
and it's been rubbed 2 weeks ago, and you cannot help yourself. You're like, oh, I don't know how to overcome this rub. And now you're wasting probably some of the best honey.
Yeah.
Now, that deer's traveling through there, no doubt,
mm-hmm.
but he could have changed his pattern. He might have fresh.
He might have had a persimmon tree over there that he wanted to go to, and it's been gone for a week
for a week.
He might have been on a big white oak that he wanted to get to, and that tree's gone now, so he has no reason to use that path anymore.
Keep up with the sign. Make sure it's fresh. Yeah. And here's another thing. You know, we're all limited time. A lot of us hunt weekends and take a vacation or whatever. But just like that rub line Jerry and I found last week, you know, I couldn't hunt it. I figured it out. I knew my best chance was going to be this weekend against cold front.
Mm-hmm.
And I threw a camera up. But, I mean...
That's exciting.
I mean, what are you going to do, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. If you can't hunt, you can't hunt.
You can't hunt. But that was my best chance for right now. And, so we'll see what happens. But it's not like you find a rub line. Let's just throw a camera up there and go back in 5 or 6 days and see what's going on and then hunt it. Well, after that 5 or 6 days, it could be.
Yeah.
Seriously, 5 days is, right now.
Yeah, they can. I mean, you don't know if that deer's been bumped out of the area. You don't know. I mean, obviously with your place, you got private and. There shouldn't be anybody in there bumping deer around, but, I mean, you don't know what's going to change, you know.
Yeah, I could have bumped him. Yeah. Of course, I was sitting there doing a video, and I'm sure he listened to everything I said.
Yeah.
But, so there's just a few things. And that's why, and the reason I wanted to bring that up and been pounding the rub deals just so you all just don't get fooled.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying don't hunt it. Like Nick said, if you can get in there while it's hot, hunt it.
How do you treat if you find a big signpost rub? You know, rub the you know, every.
Okay, I mentioned that. There's one down there, it's a telephone pole or electric pole.
Oh, is it?
And they rubbed that thing to. I mean, they rubbed that thing.
Yeah.
To eventually, they're going to have to switch it out.
Yeah.
And that thing is just about as big as my waist. I'll take a picture of it and I'll share it with you all.
Yeah. You want to explain to people what signpost rubs are? The difference between them?
It's really a social deal.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Oh, yeah. Have you ever put a camera on one?
Well, that one right there.
Okay.
And now, a lot of those. Pictures are nighttime pictures, but I will tell you, there's a 2 or 3 day window right there where them deer are running through there in the daylight.
I've ran them on there 3 or 4 times. Like you said, a lot of nighttime stuff, which mature deer are going to move at nighttime, but I've got everything from spikes and 3 points to 140, 50, 60 inch bucks rubbing using the same rub.
Don't be fooled.
It's like a bulletin board basically is what I feel like. I mean, that's the way I've always explained it.
And you know, rubs are. You know, of course, and then I'll tell you another thing. You know, I've been watching a lot of YouTube stuff and reading more articles just so we can kind of maybe take from that and for our viewers and audience. But I almost think some of this stuff, these people are trying to, like you said, come up with a new trend or outsmart. I mean, the deer are doing the same things now as what they're doing. Forever.
When the season started.
I mean, they're doing the same things now as what they was doing 100 years ago. There's no new tricks or nothing. There's just your basics. And, you know, I think some people do that just to try to get attention, I guess. Draw attention to their show or whatever. And that's not really helping people. It's just confusing people, if anything. So, but, you know, there's several different reasons they rub one, you know, the biggest things going on right now is testosterone is rising. Testosterone rises in men. You know what we do.
Yeah.
We act stupid.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with these bucks. Every day right now, as the daylight gets shorter, less daylight, more testosterone.
Yeah.
And it's rising. And of course, they're rubbing. And that's what's going on here.
Yeah.
So, but as you were saying, rubs are also a social deal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of how they communicate.
Yeah,
from what I understand.
From what I've understood before is rubs are basically saying, okay, this is the trail I use and mm-hmm. it's safe to use. I mean, a lot of people think it's mm-hmm. the dominant thing, and I'm not so sold that big rubs mean it's a dominant buck.
No.
I think that this means this is his trail. This is where he uses. If you want to use it, come on through. But no. If this read my sign as I'm coming through.
Yeah.
This is my rub. This is my way to go.
And I think all the rubs are a lot different. Like right now. I think that's what you're saying. That's what they're doing. As
yeah.
that testosterone rises, you've seen bucks just pissed off and just
if you
rubbing see, a tree just because they're just tore all to pieces. Yeah.
If you see, if you, like you said, snort wheeze at a buck,
mm-hmm.
and he turns over and looks at a tree and just starts thrashing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not just saying, hey, this is my herd. He's saying, hey, watch this. Here I come. Yeah. I'm getting revved up.
Well, let's talk about that. I'm glad you brought that up. Let's talk about getting vocal because it's time. To get vocal
yeah.
with these deer.
Well, I sent you the video in my backyard there a week ago.
Yeah.
A few bucks fighting in my backyard.
Yeah, they're already fighting.
Yeah.
So, you know, Nick, you rattle.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now, you said snort wheeze. That's my favorite thing.
Yeah.
But there's a time to do it, time not to do it, time to be aggressive,
yeah.
time to be a little passive with it.
I feel
just learning to watch the deer. Am I right?
Yeah, it really is. And even then, sometimes, I mean, snortweed is one of those noises you've never heard in the woods.
Yeah.
If you have, you're lucky because it's not something they do all the time.
No.
So you kind of, it's really foreign to make that much noise that in a tree stand.
It's hard to do it. After I've seen it work time and time again for myself. Now I want you all to listen, pay attention because we're going to teach you something right here. I promise you. If you're grunting, if you're rattling, you're snort wheezing. You're calling at these deer. You see a big buck. Let's say you see a buck 80 yards. He's coming your way. Hush.
Yeah.
Do not make a noise. You don't need to grunt.
There's no reason.
Snort wheeze. You don't need to rattle. He's walking your way. A lot of y'all know this, but you might get excited. And I've done it and couldn't help myself. Oh my gosh, here he comes. Well, you're giving away your position.
Yeah.
Big old mature buck. It's just his natural first instinct to get downwind. Even if he thinks you're a buck and don't think you're human, which he thinks you're a buck,
yeah.
he's still going to come in downwind. When they put a decoy out in the field, what they do, they'll come downwind of that decoy.
Oh, they're going to circle.
It's just, that's in their nature to do that. So, what we're trying to say here is, don't give yourself up now. So, when do you grunt at one?
I'm not a big fan of blind grunting. And I mean, when I was younger.
For the same reason.
When I was younger, I was, I didn't know what else. I don't feel like I knew what I was doing,
That's what we're learning.
Yeah. But nowadays, I don't really do any kind of, nothing that draws attention to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a couple private farms that I feel like there's enough competition there. Mm-hmm. I might rattle. But even rattling anymore, I've almost done away with even rattling deer anymore. Cause the farms I hunt generally, I mean, there's always potential, some big bucks on there, but I don't feel like there's a lot of competition on them, so it doesn't really do me much good except for causing noise for me,
And that's that's the biggest factor right there. What's your buck to doe ratio?
Yeah.
Where Nick's talking about, he's got the buck to doe ratio is not very good.
I'll see on the two farms I'm talking, the two private farms I hunt the most, I'll probably see on the one on November, I think 11th or 12th, a couple years ago, I seen 21 does and no bucks.
So if you have 20 girlfriends, you're not going to be fighting over.
Yeah, there's no reason. And then the other one, I'll say 10-1 probably.
Yeah.
So I mean,
10-1. So think about that. You have all them girlfriends.
Yeah.
They're not going to fight over.
But
when it's 2-1, 3-1,
that's when
you can really call.
Yeah. And if you got several mature bucks, you're running cameras, and you got several mature bucks on camera. I mean,
call.
Yeah, rattle those antlers together. That'll get some attention.
And when you, if you have a place like that, and you feel like you have a good buck to doe ratio, now when you rattle, it's the same thing. You want to rattle. Think of it this way. I want him to hear me, kind of like turkey hunting. If you're turkey, I want him to hear me, but I don't want him to know where I'm at.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to sit there and just beat the horns together for 10 minutes.
No, I don't either.
Because I don't want him to pinpoint me.
Yeah.
So I want him to hear me.
Yeah.
And then, so I might rattle, boom, 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 just enough where I think he can hear, stop, 20 minutes, do it again maybe.
The thing I learned the hard way is, and I mean, it might be this is elementary to some people, but some people might not be. No. But if you're going to rattle, stand up, grab your rattling antlers, rattle. I like, instead of banging them together, I heard somebody on here the other day, I don't remember who it was, said they like to make as much noise as they can. I mean, really cracking me. I like to get, I've got a set of sheds I found years ago, they're about 120 inch buck, and I'll hit them together. Not really hit them, just put them together, tinkle them, and I grind them together more than anything. Mm-hmm. Almost like the pushing back and forth on each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's what bucks I've seen fight. That's how they pretty much fight. They're not wrestling down the hill. And,
yeah.
But, I lost my train of thought there where I was going with that. But I mean, it's when you're standing up, stand up, do your thing with your antlers, you know, however long. As soon as you put them down, grab your bow.
Yeah.
Because that buck's coming in, he's looking.
He could come in.
He wants to know where that fight's at. He's looking. Mm-hmm. And if you've seen him and you've got to stand up and grab your bow, he's already seen you move.
Yeah.
I mean, most likely he's going to see you move. So
that's a good tip right there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm already up, ready to go.
When he comes in, he's coming in charged up.
Yeah.
And while we're on the rattling, and I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but a lot of times if I've had a small buck come through and he walks out of sight.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to rattle him back in.
Yeah.
But a lot of times I've done this multiple times, actually. I'll rattle. And I've had bigger bucks come from where that smaller buck went.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it, you know, I don't know if they've seen him, heard the rattling, and think, hey, you know,
what's he doing?
But he got run off. I'm going in there.
Yeah.
And I've done that 3 or 4 times. I've done
that's
that.
That's good.
One of the places you were, this first time, it's just accident.
Yeah.
Well, I'd rattled one in, and he was a small buck.
Yeah.
He went over the hill. When he went over the hill, I didn't want to rattle him back.
No.
But I rattled again, and man, the stud come over the hill, and I ended up shooting him. But, you know, that's one of the first deer I had rattled in.
Yeah.
It's behind that old house.
Oh, no.
It had a bunch of dogs down there. You know exactly where it is.
Yeah.
It's right up the, all the way into that hall.
Yeah, I know exactly where you're talking about. Yeah.
They took that house down as double wide.
Yeah, I know exactly where you're talking about.
But I killed that big old buck out there. But,
you were talking about, you know, I didn't mean to cut you off there. You were talking about grunt, when would I actually grunt an animal or a deer, but, to me, it's almost like a last-ditch effort. If I see him cruising on a ridge, going away from me, and I can just silhouette him, and I want to get a better look at, see what it is, or if it's a shooter, I'll throw some grunts his way, maybe a snort wheeze. If I can stop him, stop, maybe snort wheeze, or, you know, or if he's walking away from me, or, you know, whatever I need. If I'm trying to actually bring him in, and I can visually see him.
Like I said, it's last-ditch effort.
Yeah, it's a last-ditch effort for me.
There's no sense, if he's coming your way, to give up your location, but if he starts walking that way, I mean, you have nothing to lose.
Yeah. Oh, it. I mean, I've grunted up.
Yeah.
It's hard to say how many bucks I've grunted at to bring back to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, not all of them were shooting, you know, maybe not all of them shooters, but just, you know, when I was young, just wanting to see a buck close to me, you know. But it works. Grunting works.
It will work. You have nothing to lose at that point.
Yeah.
And a lot of times what I'll do myself, I'll start with the grunt. And if I can't get his attention to that, then I will do the snort wheeze.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times the snort wheeze will bring him in when the grunt. You have nothing to lose with Tommy's walking away. And it's that time of year, you're not going to scare him.
The snort wheeze is going to get their attention, period. Yeah. I don't care how.
They're going to whip their head around.
He's either going to look at it, he's going to do something. Yeah. Last year, that 180 inch buck that my buddy ended up killing, we videoed him and he comes through. I grunt at him 2 or 3 times. Mm-hmm. He's at about 65 yards and cruising.
Mm-hmm.
And, I grunt at him a couple times and didn't pay attention. He come down and worked a scrape.
Mm-hmm.
And, like I said, we have all this in video, and he comes up, marks that scrape, starts to go away from me. I snort wheeze. Because, I mean, last-ditch effort. I didn't know what else to do. I thought, he threw his head around, looked at us, started walking right straight towards.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, and where we're hunting at, wide open timber. So he takes about 5 or 6 steps and thinks, hang on now, you know, there's no other deer.
Yeah,
if there would have been 100-inch bucks in there, I'd be talking about the 180 I killed, I guarantee you.
Yeah.
But it was so open there. I think that's the only thing that kept him from coming in was, he didn't see a deer, and he thought, nah, I'm not going to mess with that.
Yeah. Well, now we went over all this stuff. I mean, I'm not no expert on anything, but decoys. If I were to use decoys, I'm using a buck decoy myself.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a place, I'm not going to be in the woods when I'm using it.
No.
I mean, for some reason, it freaks them out.
Yeah.
It's going to be a place where they can see a long ways,
yeah.
Field, in the edge of the field, you know. Now, there's a certain way you want to set them decoys.
Yeah. I've never used a deer decoy, to be honest with you. Obviously, there's ways you want to set them up because they're going to approach them from the downwind side if they want to fight.
Uh-huh.
And you want him to come in quarter and, you know, into that. So you want to set it up in a manner where that's the way he's going to come in.
That's where you want to set them up.
But to me, I've never used one. I was considering it. I mean, we have a,
it goes back to the buck doe ratio.
It really does. Think. Yeah. But where we're hunting at in Kansas is going to be super open. So mm-hmm. I considered maybe packing one out there and
yeah,
maybe trying it. I don't know.
You know, I've used them a couple times. I like them. Now, I used a doe decoy one time. It was when I was young. I had no clue what I was doing.
Yeah.
I just flopped her out there. Well, here comes this big old Ohio buck. I mean, a big one. A big one. And he didn't even see her, but he was just flopping up my way. Had she not been there, he just walked right by me.
Oh.
And he gets up there, and it was one of them crappy old...
Like a flambeau or something?
Yeah,
like
a flambeau. It was almost like a pink flamingo sitting out there. I mean, it was junk. But, you know, it was a big deal to me back then. Yeah. I got me a daggone dope decoy. Had my hands, grimy old hands all over it. But here he comes, and he stops, man. Like, and he's looking at her like, you know, what? Go home early or go home ugly. He wasn't about to go home ugly.
Yeah.
And I was like, no. Oh, and I knew right then where he turned around. But that's just an experience. And I had to learn from that. You know, but now maybe if I had that set up a different way, set up right. Or if had it been a buck decoy, I really believe he'd have come on in.
Yeah.
But
he's probably jacked up enough where he thought,
oh,
man.
He's a mature buck and
he's
not that stupid.
Man.
So anyway, it's just one of those experiences. So we'll talk more about decoys when after we YouTube and
we'll talk more about decoys when we get somebody here to use decoys.
Yeah, we'll try to find us a guest. I'm sure we can find somebody that uses decoys. Yeah. We really do need to get somebody on that uses them because I'm sure there's a lot of you out there that might want to use them.
If anybody uses decoys, let us know.
Yeah, give us a message. You know, I should ask Brandon. I don't know if he uses them or not, but we'll.
A lot of guys that hunt like we do in the hills, you know, they're not really,
it's hard.
It's, we don't hunt ag a lot and it's just,
no.
I mean, it's really hard to set up a decoy.
Yeah. You know? It's hard to pack.
Some places I hunt, I'd be scared to pack a decoy in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
it gets western in some places.
I'm telling you, that's for sure. We're like seeing Kansas, it might work out.
Yeah.
So you'll be, old Red's alive.
Yeah.
He's back. That wasn't very long now.
He's ready
to
go.
Now, when are you heading to Kansas?
November 1st.
November 1st. See, Dave's leaving tomorrow, but he's going up to set cameras and things up and getting some things set up. Man, did you see that buck he killed out there?
Oh, yeah.
Stud?
That's what I'm after.
Man, I'm telling you, he won't even hunt Ohio after going
to Kansas. There's a reason I'm going to Kansas. And,
yeah.
I mean, I'm after a big buck in Ohio, and you know, but...
Just experience, man.
Yeah, just my brother's hunted up there, and he loves it. I mean, he's back. I've bought my license up there two other times and not been able to go because I've either started the job one time on the day I was supposed to be out there, and another time, I think that's what it was too, I started a different job. So, this time I'm going.
Yeah.
Regardless, I'm going.
Heck yeah, man.
But, yeah, I'm excited about it.
Oh, man, good luck. And, I think we're going to wrap this one up. Is there anything else you want to talk to you about right now?
I don't think nothing.
And we'll get somebody else on about decoy. We're going to do some more videos, kind of help explain things to you guys better through the videos. Nick and I and all the guys, we'll get some stuff together like that. Hit them cold fronts. Good luck to y'all. Nick, good luck, man.
Thanks, you too. Yeah, you're going to be here up in the land of giants. So.
I know. I have a feeling there's going to be some big old monster bucks there, but I have a feeling this weekend I'm going to see a 130-inch buck, and I'm going to be done.
I seen a guy last night. He killed a for probably mid-160s last night.
I'm telling you.
On that first day, you know, first pushing in, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a big mature duck. I think he said it was a 7-year-old deer. He hunts some good property, but, yeah, I mean, it's dandy, so
yeah.
It's already starting.
Get ready, y'all. Hunt tomorrow. Call off work and go hunting tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, old Red, I'm coming. I'm coming, old Red. Hey, we'll see y'all later. For Nick Basil, this is Rob Michonne, Hunting Out Loud. Old Red.